You have your Bibles today. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. The epistles of Peter are very important. Peter the apostle realizes that believers in his day have been scattered throughout pretty much the whole known world at that time. And their plight was one of difficulty and challenge. And many of them were hurting, as we might just down to earth say. They were facing a lot of challenges. And I'm sure that at times it must have been disheartening. I think sometimes we think our day is the only day in which we're facing the most horrible things that we could ever face. And without minimizing what we are facing in these days, I would like to assure you that believers in days past faced many, many, many difficult things. As a matter of fact, if the Lord were to open them up to us, we would be surprised probably, and we would probably give thanks to God for the life that we've been able to live as believers in this world to this point. So I would just have you to appreciate the writings of Peter. Peter is trying to write these letters for a very simple purpose. He's trying to write to strengthen and encourage them. He wants them to not lose heart. And so it is today when we come to the table of the Lord that our desire in our heart is that you be strengthened in the Lord and that you be encouraged in Him and that you are able to leave this place today with a renewed love and a renewed sense of the Lord's presence in your life as you go out into a troubled world today. Listen then to what Peter has to say to these believers. This is the Word of God. 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Isn't that a good picture of the table? I like that greeting. Picture of the table. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world. Oh boy, again, a little description of the world. Having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and with virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fail or fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me, and I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For when He received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to Him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased," we ourselves heard this very voice from heaven, for we were with Him on that holy mountain. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And may then God add His blessing to the reading of His holy and precious Word of God. We'll not preach from this whole chapter, but I wanted you to get the setting. I wanted you to appreciate Peter's appeal to these believers concerning the reminders of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in very difficult days. It would seem to be very appropriate to us as well. Some things just don't change, do they? I mean, the days seem to be very appropriate for these reminders to come home to us. The text, however, that I will deal with this morning, it is found in verse 19 and 20 at the end of this chapter. And here it says, "And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." What a tremendous reminder to believers who are troubled that they have a sure word from God. What a tremendous means of grace and blessing we have to be reminded that God Himself has revealed His Word from above, and that it does not fall short to be able to meet the needs of His children or to supply them with what they need to know about godliness and salvation and even how to live from day to day in difficult circumstances. It is amazing to me that God's Word is such to us who love Him. It is always a blessing of how the means of grace themselves, the Word of God, prayer, the table. Isn't the table, even in showing forth the sacrifice of Christ, the substitutionary atonement of the Lord expressed at the table, what an encouragement it brings to believers. That He who suffered knows what you might suffer. That He who gave His life and His all for you, what is it that you can go through that you might not be able to endure with Christ living in you? My, we should count it always a privilege, as one of the gospel writers said, that when we suffer with Christ, we ought to always glory in that, for if we suffer with Him, we shall also bear His glory with Him as well. We need to be reminded of that in these days as you and I as the church move through the days in which we go through. The days may even become more difficult than we have faced in the recent past. May God grant grace to you to hear the message already given in the Word of God to supply you with what you need in order to stand firm in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Stand firm, I say, in the Lord, Paul says in Ephesians. And we ought to do the same. Put on the full armor of God. Peter is coming to a people whom he knows that he will not be able to change their circumstances of suffering. He realizes that he too is a part of that environment in which he has been called to walk with Christ in very difficult days. As a matter of fact, Peter's life ends up very much like the Apostle Paul, who finds himself being put to death for the sake of the gospel. And I'm always amazed, and I don't know about all the history of it, but it is reported that that when Peter came to be crucified like the Lord, Peter declared his unworthiness to die that way and asked to be crucified upside down. I don't know the truth of all that historically, but man, that speaks volumes, doesn't it, to us about what we might face in this world, that we ought to do so in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the latest light of His Word. Peter is coming to give them advice, a friendly advice, to be mindful of the Word that they have been given from God. I enjoy Peter in this context because he speaks to them about the surety of the Old Testament, that the testimony concerning the things of this world have been given in the Old Testament, and that the word of the Old Testament is sure and good. And the claim of the Word of God given there is a blessed thing. But as he comes down to these verses, and we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed. We have the prophetic word more fully confirmed. Peter is talking about being with the Lord and the continual revelation, the revelation of Christ in the flesh coming into this world. And Peter is saying, listen, that message of the prophets, that prophetic word of the Old Testament, which is true and sure concerning the things of redemption and of Christ, we've been a part of in the continuing, and that prophetic word has been made more sure and more confirmed even in the coming of Christ. And you see, even at this time, as Peter writes, the canon of the New Testament has not been fully put together, has it? And yet Peter commends to them the word of the Old Testament as connected to the new in the revelation of Christ and His redemption, of which they historically have been a part of. And He's reminded them of that. Find your encouragement in the continuing revelation that you had in the Old Testament of the promises of God and the surety of the things of God. And now it has come to more fruition. And it is for the benefit and the surety of the salvation of the life of God's people. This claim, Peter calls these children who are facing difficulty and challenge and persecution and suffering, it's very interesting that he calls them to consider the Word of God and the place of the Word to bring comfort and direction and surety into their life in difficult times. I'm amazed, as I was preparing for this lesson, I'm amazed at how many times in Scripture, before there is a proclamation concerning the surety of God's Word, there's a description of the ungodliness of this world. It's amazing. And we'll look at a couple of those passages as we move forward. But the place of God's Word in your life. Remember this, that the Word of God is the sword of what? The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. And I tell you, if you want to reach a world for Jesus Christ, don't approach it in your own strength, but live by the Word. May the Word dwell within you in such a fashion, and the Spirit dwell with you in the light of that Word in your life, that as you proclaim the Word of God in a lost and dying world and live in the light of Christ and the light of His Word before a lost and dying world, that the Holy Spirit will take that Word that you have been faithful to and it will be a sword in His hand. You see, my friends, we have been given weapons not of this world. You have been given resources from God Himself in order to preserve you and keep you and make you effective in the kingdom of God. And one of those things is this table. Another one of those things is the life of His church. Another thing is prayer and His Word. And my dear friends, what blessings they are. And of course, the claim of the Word of God, He says that we do well to pay attention. In the light of the days, we do well to pay attention to what we have been told and what we have been taught. And I guess that's one of the elements that I would encourage believers even in this day. What are we to do? Well, I would say shore up your life in terms of your prayer life and your walk with the Lord and your looking into His Word and living in the light of His Word. I pray that God in these days, through the trouble that we are facing in the world today, that He will draw you closer to Himself. By the way, in this experience of the COVID experience, have you been drawn closer to your family and the Lord? Have you been drawn closer to your family and the Lord? I have. I thank God for His hand in our life in the way that He draws us back. He draws us back to Himself. And isn't that table exactly that thing, doing that very thing, drawing us back to that which is essential, that which is important in life? The Lord drawing us to Himself, comforting us in the shelter of His wings. I love that picture in Scripture, that He shelters us under the cover of His wings. That He's our refuge and our fortress and a place that we can continually go to find strength and help when we need it. How about God's Word and His means of grace in your life? Are they what they should be? Think about the depth of God's Word if we would only ask. And we have the prophetic Word more fully confirmed. Think what you have in the New Testament as written and inscripturated. You have a broad testimony of the goodness of Christ and the reality of His promises being fulfilled. And we have the prophetic Word more fully confirmed, to which you do well to pay attention. And He exhorts them, these believers who are hurting, you do well to pay attention to what God is revealing in His day and continues to reveal in the life of His people. And why? Because He says, this very Word that you have been given has been given to you for a purpose. He says, you do well to pay attention to that Word because it is a lamp. I love this description. As to a lamp shining in a dark place. He has given you His Word as a lamp shining in a dark place. By the way, after I read that, I went back to Psalm 119. I could not help but read the profitability of God's Word and His statutes as He has given in the Word. The longest psalm of all the psalms that you would read. You'd read, Lonnie, the longest psalm in the Old Testament hymn book. But dear friends, how many times the simple Word is repeated, even though it's very long, all the Hebrew letters of the alphabet, and it's put in poetical form. Blessed is the Word of God. How fruitful are the statutes of God. How rich is the Word of God. For it is a lamp unto my feet and a light for my path. Have you asked the question how you should walk in these days? Where in the world are we going to get a sense of direction? I tell you what, if we just get the right leaders and we trust in that, we'll be okay. Listen, I think there are some serious, serious moral issues at stake today. I'll simply say that, and you know what they are. That's the church. And the real question of all that we face is what kind of future you want for this nation. Do you want one that's radical and liberal and removes the things of God continually? Or is it the desire to preserve those things of truth that we have yet remaining? I don't know how much is left, actually. I've been trying to discern that. But we need to pray. And you as believers need to be grounded in the Word, and you need to act upon your conscience in the light of the Word by the leading of the Holy Spirit who holds the sword in His hand. Amen? Amen. Enough said. You hold that which is necessary to direct you as the church of Jesus Christ with regard to His will for your life. It is a fantastic thing to look into the Bible that Peter describes to them that the word from the Lord as it is progressing even in Peter's life as he writes this letter. I love the progression as he's writing this letter to them. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, He speaks to them about that Word from God that is able to save and able to lead us to life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And He says that one of the elements of that Word is that that Word is a light that shines in a dark place. Actually, the Greek says in a place of gloom. How do you like that English word? That the Word of God, the Word of Christ, shines in a gloomy place, in a place of darkness. I don't know whether you've ever been on a dark road or not, but when we were in Eastern North Carolina, it would get very dark. And when you had to go from the field to the house, that was that little white path. And you kind of had, because you'd walked it so many times, you kind of knew where it was, but you had your little flashlight. And you had to be careful because you'd end up over in the cucumber patch or somewhere in the soybeans or something. You know, you had to keep on that path. And sometimes because it was so dark, I would be a little bit scared about what was behind me. And that would make me walk just a little faster. If not run, if I could. Kids, you know, kids. But I think about the day in which we live. The day of darkness. A reminder that when the Word of God speaks about the depravity of the day and speaks about the darkness of sin, really isn't it a reminder of the necessity of salvation? Isn't it a reinforcement of the necessity of the gospel in our life? Because the world remains in its darkness, and how dark the darkness is. Have we forgotten that? Sometimes we may make light of sin. But I have been reminded more and more as I've been drawn closer to the Lord of the sinfulness of sin, the darkness. Sin. And so, as we come to the table, does it not drive you to your Savior all the more, to love Him more? To be thankful with a grateful heart, with thanksgiving, oh Lord, thank You for saving such a sinner as myself, who once made excuse for the gloom and darkness of his own life. Would not the Lord save others in these days? If He can save the likenesses of me and you in the light of His glory in His Son, ought He not be able to reach out into this culture that we face today and do His work? Will He not do His work through the life of His people and His church? I love what the Lord said. He said, if you won't glorify me, I'll cause these stones to rise up and glorify me because it's my creation after my will. I'll cause these stones to rise up and glorify me if you will not. So we're taught evermore about the mighty sovereign hand of God. And what is it about, again, this Bible that we've been given that's so precious? Well, first of all, it is light in a dark place. I love John chapter 1. And the light did shine in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Don't you love that? I think I'm going to preach from John 1 in a month or so. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of God. My. The Word of God. The Word reminding us of the power of the Word of God at creation. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. That is the Word with which you are dealing this morning through Jesus Christ, your Savior. It is a lasting Word. It is a Word that has been given to us in very dark times that we might walk and live with Him. And what I love about the Bible is that it's first of all, it's reality. Why should you trust the Word? Why? Because first of all, it's the Word of God. And because it is a light in a dark place. And because it's the revelation from God. Those are a few reasons. But another reason is that the Word of God is quite realistic, isn't it? As I say, as a pastor, that Christians ought to be some of the most realistic people that live on the earth. We ought not to be naive about sin. We ought not to be naive about each other. We ought to pray for each other. Because it's a challenging world in which we live as believers. We should pray for each other. We should uphold each other as the church of Jesus Christ and be one in the body of Christ through very difficult times. But the scriptures are very realistic about the world in which we live. We just studied Ecclesiastes, didn't we? Very realistic about life in this world, Solomon says. And when everything's been said, what? Fear God, keep His commandments, and remember that He will bring all things into judgment, whether good or bad. And my dear friends, does not the Word direct us in the path that we should go? Isn't Psalm 119 beautiful? Isn't John 1 beautiful? That reminds us of that. And the Word of God, if we want to know something about the nature of this world, the Bible is not a textbook about every subject in the world, but the Bible is a textbook with regard to the redemption of Christ and His Son. And I say this to you, that wherever the Bible does speak about reality, it speaks true. Amen? Or no matter how general, when the Bible speaks, I've discovered the Bible speaks true about reality. And you can take that to the bank about God's Word. And I tell you what, we're a people who I think need the surety of that Word. I've never heard so many words in all my life. I have been drilled by modern media with thousands upon thousands upon thousands of commercials and words. I heard David say this morning, David says, I don't even know why I own a TV anymore. I love that statement. I wanted to jump up and down. I don't even know why I own a TV anymore. I said, oh Lord, that's good. That is good. That means we're learning. It means that we're growing. And we don't have to listen to all those words. Lord, help us. We're people good for our word, but not so good in our conduct and our behavior. The Word of God to you, a gift to you from Christ, our Lord, to help you, just to help you from day to day. Don't you love it? And those who have come to know that Word, cherish it and find it consistent with their life. And isn't it good to find something you can read that's consistent with your life and with your experience? That is the Word of God given through Christ Jesus our Lord. But not only is the Word of God realistic and consistent, there's something about reality that goes a little bit deeper that man needs today. Sometimes just being realistic about things around you is not enough. But sometimes we need to go a little deeper with the Lord, don't we? We need, Lord, something a little more than just simply being realistic. We need to know what we're dealing with here. Lord, I need to know in my heart of hearts what's underneath all this. Lord, I need an assurance about the things that I face from day to day that are difficult. Lord, I walk into a hospice home and there's a man lying on the bed dying. And I kneel down beside his bed to pray with him and his family. Lord, I need to know something a little deeper. I need to know something than this is just happening realistically. Lord, I need to know Your presence. I need to know Your assurance. And the Word of God said, by the Spirit. The Word of God by the Spirit goes into the depths of your life where nobody else goes. And that Spirit takes that Word and applies it to your heart right where you are. And there's a depth and a fellowship there that it's very difficult to explain. And that's found in the Word. And the Word of God is that gift to you, that you might be assured beyond the surface of things that He is true and He is good and He is right. And He does so effectively in the life of His children. And you know what I've come to even see? That even when life, there have been times as a Christian when I've not even been certain of the next step. And I've said, Lord, what now? And you know what I found? That God's faithfulness in His Word to His children to encourage them brings them through. He shows Himself faithful in the next step. And that's what I reminded one dear believer this week who passed. Dear brother, the Lord will never ask you to go anywhere that He's not already first meant for you. Amen? And brother dies. Dear brother, the Lord will never ask you to go anywhere that He's not first already been. And the Word tells us that He's the pioneer of our faith. He has already ascended into heaven and we follow after Him. And this table, we do show forth the Lord's death, what? Till He comes in His glory and brings with Him those who have fallen asleep in Him. And if we remain unto that day, we who are left and remain, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we who remain shall be caught up with them in the sky. We shall be joined together forever. We shall be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. The Word of God is profound and deep. Also, the Word of God gives you an accurate picture of the nature of this world. How would we have known how to explain the darkness of this world apart from the Christ? Now, we may have known reasonably some sense that things have not gone right. But how would we have known the depth of the gloom and the darkness of sin in this world apart from the Scriptures? Do you know why the law was given? Do you know why the law of Moses was given? One of the reasons that the law of Moses was given was to make clear our sin. It was to confirm sin. You shall not bear false witness. In writing. To confirm the darkness of our sin. And the Bible speaks to us about that realistically. We do wise to raise our families in the things of the Lord and teach them right and wrong from Scripture. We do well if we listen to the Word of God and raise them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Amen? So that they have a foundation from us, from the Scriptures. And not just simply from us, but from God Himself. May it not be said that we are not willing to impart God's truth to one another in encouragement. You ought to do that to your wife, your husband, your children, your friends, your neighbors. Let the Word of God, I love Paul, let the Word of God, what? Richly dwell within you. Let the Word of Christ richly dwell within you so that wherever you go, it just flows. It just flows by the Spirit. That's the importance of God's Word. And my final statement, I know we've gone just a bit, but please bear with me. The last thing I would say to you about the importance of the Word of God is God has spoken to us truth. It is the only place that God has given that we can find light in these days. Please remember that, church. It is the only place given to man in these days whereby he can be saved and know the truth and know the depths of the things of God only from Him. Only in the Word of God as imparted to us through Christ. And so, therefore, all the more we are called to be faithful. It is a story of God's redemption from the day God created the heavens and the earth and man fell in his sin from the garden. It is the message of all of history. My dear friends, don't you know that that's the heart of history? That man fell into sin and God's plan of redemption was to send His Son into this world to die for our sins and to take our place. And that we are to trust in Him by faith for the forgiveness of our sins and for life. And His promise is that He would carry us through and He would bring us home safely. Is that the message that you hold from the Word of God by faith today? Is that the way you look at your world today in history and all that man is experiencing today? I hope that it is that you're living in the light of God's Word through Christ. And that as you come to the table today, let the world be the world. But let Jesus Christ be the Lord. The redemption of your life. The one that has called you to walk with Him even through the gloom. Amen? He's called you to even walk with Him through the gloom. But just remember, He walked through the gloom for our sake. And it is no small thing that He would do that. And if our Lord walked through the gloom in light of His love and faithfulness, my friends, don't you think that we ought by faith to walk with Him? Amen? Amen. The Lord be with you in these days. May the Lord lead you.